שבוע טוב רבותיי, קהל קדוש, ברשות הרבנים החשובים, משפחת וקנין, השם עליהם יחיו. I came tonight to say דברי תורה, לעילוי נשמת המנוח מיכאל בן אסתר, רוח אדוני תניחנו בגן עדן, ותהי נשמתו צרורה בסול החיים, אמן. It's not easy for me to give the drashot on Motzei Shabbat. Although Shabbat is a day of Menucha, but that's my busiest day of the week in working in the congregation in Brooklyn. From early in the morning until 8:30, we're saying constant drashot. But I made an extra effort out of respect to my good friend Rabbi Asher, that told me tonight is a special night for the yahrzeit of his father. So I thought it would be a good opportunity to push myself in order to address Kahal Kadosh. If you'll allow me to say a chidush tonight that I haven't said yet. It's not on the CDs, it's not on the Learn Torah. It's a chidush in honor of the Manoah. The Gemara in Masechet Shabbat on Daf Pechet, it's quoting the Pasuk when the Jewish people went to receive the Torah. Vayityatzevu betachti tahar. Simply it means they stood at the foot of the mountain. But the Gemara says, Melamed שקפה עליהם הר כגיגית, that they literally were under the mountain. בתחתית doesn't mean at the foot, בתחתית means underneath. That means that Kadosh Baruch Hu took the mountain and he held it over their heads and he warned them, אם תקבלו את התורה מוטב, if you're willing to accept this Torah, מוטב, it's good. ואם לאו, and if you don't accept it, שם תהה קבורתכם. Over there will be your burial. That בורא עולם threatened Am Yisrael that he'll take the mountain and cover them and smash them and destroy them. והתייסבו בתחתית ההר. The mountain was hovering over their heads. And if Am Yisrael wouldn't have accepted the Torah, the mountain would have came down. Sham tehe kiburatchem. Ask the Tosafot a very strong question. Tosafot says, the Jews were forced? The Jews accepted the Torah by force with the threat of Har Kegigit? Didn't the Jewish people say, Na'aseh v'nishma? When God came to them, they said, where do we sign? Na'aseh v'nishma, they accepted it blindly. We don't even have to see what's written. They accepted the Torah miratzon. What does it mean? Kafa' aleihem har kegigit. This is the question of Tosafot. Tosafot gives an answer. To be honest, I never understood the answer of the Tosafot. But this is what he says. He says, oh, the Kadosh Baruch Hu was worried. Shiyiru, they're going to see et ha'esh ha'gedolah. There was a great fire that came down at the time of Matan Torah. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu said that when they see the great fire, they might get scared. They might get worried. And as a result, they're not going to want to accept the Torah. So we had to be kofe alehem har kigigi mishum ha'esh ha'gedolah. The great fire. Tosafot This is Tosfot. Can I ask you a question? What is this Esh Gedolah? Is this Esh Gedolah a positive fire or a negative fire? It's a positive. It's Esh HaTorah. The Midrash says there's two types of fire. There's Esh Mahariv and Esh Boneh. Certain fires are destructive, but other fires are constructive. They're positive. The Gemara in Hakikah says, when the rabbi sat down to study Ma'aseh Merkabah, a fire came down from heaven. This fire was the fire of the Merkabah. It's a positive, it's a blessing, this fire. What does it mean, Tosfot says, God was worried when they see Esh HaGedolah, they're going to get scared, and they're going to say, no, 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 we don't want the Torah. On the contrary, Tosfot in Hagigah brings a story. There was a rabbi called Avuya. Avuya had a baby boy. It was the day of the Brit. All the Hakamim came, because Avuya was one of the Hashuvim of Yerushalayim. All the rabbis came to the Brit. When they got to the Brit, there was a delay. So the rabbi said to Avuya, we're going to go in the library and study. When the Mohel comes, you call us. So they started to study Torah. From Torah to Nevi'im, to Nevi'im to Ketubim. They went from one book to another book. And all of a sudden, it says the fire of Har Sinai came down in the library of Avuya. So Avuya goes into the library, sees the fire. He says to the Hakamim, Hakamim, you came to burn down my house? This Hashu Shalom, Hashu Shalom. Look, nothing's burning, nothing's burning. This is the fire of Torah. He got so impressed. Avuya says, this is the fire that comes from Torah? He says, yes, you learn Torah, the Shem Shamayim, the fire comes down. He said, I never saw such a thing like this. Esh Boneh. He said, Yehi Ratzon, I wish my son will study Torah and he'll become a great rabbi and he'll be meriting, and he'll be zocher to this fire. Why am I telling you this story? To show you that the Esh of Torah is inspiring. The Esh of Torah is motivating. Here, Avuya saw the fire, he said, I want my son to be like this. What does Tosfot say? Oh, they were worried about Esh HaGedolah. Esh HaGedolah, Adrabah. If they saw the Esh HaGedolah, they should have said, we want it double Ma'aseh B'Nishma. Not only that, but if you're Midayek, if you read the words of Tosfot properly, anytime you see the word Gadol or Gedolah, that word is used to represent Chesed. Anytime you see the word Gibor, Gibor is Giburah, that's Midat Adin. We say in Amida, Ha'el, Ha'Gadol, Ha'Gibor, Ha'Nora. If you look at some of the Sidurim, on top of Ha'Gadol, it says Abraham. Hagibor, Yitzhak. Ben Norah, Yaakov. Yaakov is Norah because he said, Man Norah HaMakom Hazeh. Yitzhak is Giburah Midat Adin. And who's Gadol? Chesed, Abraham. So Tosfot says it himself, Ha'esh HaGedolah. It's the Esh of Chesed. So I'm asking, if the Jewish people saw Esh HaGedolah, Esh HaTorah, that should make them afraid not to want to receive the Torah. Adrabah, the Esh HaGedolah should only motivate them. It's a reason for them to accept it. Meshut Kehal Kadosh, I'd like to say a big chiddush. To me, it's a chiddush that's very practical. It applies to me, and I'm sure it applies to many of you as well. It's a hadush that I say from experience. There was a great rabbi called Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam from the Tosafot. Rabbeinu Tam wrote a sefer called Sefer HaYashar. In Sefer HaYashar, he talks about two stages in life that everybody goes through. He says sometimes a person is going through Yemei Ha'or, the days of light, and at other times a person goes through what he calls Yemei HaChoshech, the days of darkness. And at any given point in your life, you're either in Yemei Ha'or or Yemei HaChoshech. What does it mean? What does it mean, Rabbeinu Tam? You know what I understand Yemei Ha'or means? That's when you're on the up. You're excited. You're in a good mood. Everything in life is working. The business, Baruch Hashem, is working. Your family life is good. You have Shalom Bayit. Everything's good with the kids in the yeshiva. Yemei Ha'or. You're going through an optimistic time of life. You have a certain positive energy. You're charged. All of us experience Yemei Ha'or. You get up in the morning, you can't wait to come to the shi'ur. You can't wait to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Kavanah. You're excited to do Gemilut Hasadim. You're excited to give Tzedakah. You feel yourself being mitkarev, you're getting closer and closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're on the up. Many people feel Yemei Ha'or during Elul. Some people, Rosh Hashanah, Aseret Teshuvah, Kippur, Sukkot, Yamim Nuraim, the motivating days. But it doesn't have to be that way. It could be any time of year. All of a sudden, the person just gets a gift. It's a gift from God. Yemei Ha'or. He feels close to the Shekhinah. He feels attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. During Yemei Ha'or, it's very easy to serve God. It's flowing. It's natural. It's easy. It's almost as if you're being carried. But Rabbeinu Tam, be careful. Because Yemei Ha'or doesn't last forever, even if you're the biggest tzaddik. Because eventually, Bar Minan, but it's going to happen, comes Yemei HaChoshech. Where life becomes a little difficult. Where God throws a challenge to the person. Whether it's in his parnasah, whether it's in his health, whether it's in his family, whatever it may be. And now, all of a sudden, he loses his drive. He loses his heshek. He loses the desire. He's not excited to get up to go to Bet Knesset. Now it's a drudge. You have to push him. He's not excited. He's angry. All of a sudden he's becomes a little bitter. He's down. And worse, the worst avera that the Hakamim say that a person could commit, he allows himself to fall into a depression. I'm not talking about clinical depression. Clinical depression, a person needs to go to a doctor. I'm talking about the regular ups and downs of life where a person wakes up and he says, I woke up on the wrong side of the bed. I'm in a bad mood. He's down for whatever reason. Hakamim warn us. There's no greater avira than the avira of azbut. Because when a person lets himself get down, and he gives up his religion, and he says, I don't want to pray today, and I don't want to serve God, and I don't want to read my Tehillim, and I don't want to do mitzvot. And he forfeits at that moment. Hachamim warn us that it'll start to fall and fall and fall. And before he knows it, he finds himself in a very low place. I don't know if you remember, but in the olden days, today you don't see it that often. In the olden days there was missionaries. The missionaries would go from door to door, trying to persuade you to join another religion. But there was one place where you always would see the missionaries giving out Bibles and pamphlets and books. And that was in the lounges and the airports. You don't see it anymore today. Today there's so much security, Baruch Hashem, they don't let them in. But in the olden days where it was a little more loose, they would always hang out in the airports. Why? So I always thought, because they have a captive audience, you can't go anywhere, you're stuck. The person sitting in the lounge waiting to get on a plane, he can't go anywhere. So they have, in the house, he can close the door. What are you going to tell the guy? He sits next to you, he talks. But one rabbi said a deeper reason. He said, because a lot of people in the airports, the reason why they're traveling causes them to be a little down. And they might have depression. Somebody's going on a business trip. He's nervous. He doesn't know if he's going to make the sale or not. He doesn't know if he's going to make the parnasa. So his mind isn't miyushab. He's not settled. Somebody else is going to fly because his mother's sick. He has to go visit. Another one's going to fly to a funeral. A lot of people in the airport are unsettled. And the missionaries know that when a person's mind is not miyushav, you can even convince them to worship Avodah Zarah. They know that a lot of people in the lounges of the airport are vulnerable. Because they're down. They're not in the proper mood. Therefore, atzvut is the worst amirah. Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitt said on the Pasuk, when the Jewish people worship the golden calf, the Pasuk says, Saru Maher min ha-derech. What does it mean, Saru Maher? It should say, Saru min ha-derech. They went off the derech. What does it mean, Saru Maher min ha-derech? Chaim Shmuel Levitt said, how did the Jewish people that came out of Egypt end up worshipping a golden calf? How did they come to such a level to take the earrings and come along and say, Ele Elohecha Israel, how is it possible? It's very simple. Moshe they thought was dead. They just killed Hur. And they must have felt bad about that. The Midrash says they killed the 70 Zekenim. So they started to feel down upon themselves. No more Moshe. We killed the leaders. They made Averot. And they started to become depressed. And he says, once you become depressed, you could do the unimaginable. It makes no sense. You're right, because you're thinking rationally. He says, Saru Maher. Maher is the main word. What normally takes 100 years, in depression, it takes 1 minute. And therefore, atzvut, melancholy, sadness, is the biggest of the averot, because it leads to the worst of the averot. But the biggest danger is that when people are not in the proper mood, they let go of the religion. You see, Rabotai, our service to God, says Rabbeinu Tam, must be not only in Yemei Ha'or, but also in Yemei HaChoshech. Not always are you going to have Heshek. Not always are you going to be in the mood to go to class. Today we live in a very spoiled generation. Today we only want to serve God on our terms. It has to be the right degrees. We have to have first a continental breakfast. We have to have everything proper. There has to be valet parking. Everything has to be proper. And if it's not 100% to our luxury, we cannot do it. Too difficult. That's how you serve God. Only when it's an easy road, only when it's a yellow brick road. Ben Utam says you must serve God even during Yemei HaChoshech, and it's more important than Yemei HaChoshech. Even when it's difficult, what you don't think? You don't think sometimes even as a rabbi, when I had to give derashot, it was difficult for me to give derash. A few months ago I had some issues with my eyes. I was in Yemei HaChoshech. Physically, literally, you don't think it gets a person down? How am I supposed to come give derash and motivate people and I'm struggling to see the word? This Yemei HaChoshech, you think I jumped at him, I said, come derash, excited, beg on the Tevak, Al Kadosh. I had to be pulled out of my bed. And I would tell my wife, I want you to know, these derashot that I'm giving over the past few months are the most difficult for me. From the pulpit, it doesn't look difficult. From the pulpit, it looks easy. But in my head, in my brain, it's fighting through Yemei HaChoshech. Everybody goes through this. Whether you're a teacher, whether you're a rab, whether you're a student, whether you're a mother, whether you're a father, whether you're a teenager, everybody's going to go through ups and downs. What would have been my option? To go lie down in bed and cover my head with the covers? What would that have done? It only would have made things worse. Now I would have fell into a worse of a depression. Now I would have been in a worse place. And therefore the trick is to hold on to the Borei Olam even when it's difficult. And we have a tradition. Always after Yemei HaChoshech, it passes. Vahi Erev, Vahi Boker. Even if you go to the North Pole and it's dark for 6 months, somebody says it's never going to be light again. Eventually the light will come even on the North Pole. It passes. A lady that's having a labor pain, she doesn't think the pain will ever subside. And the doctor says, just breathe through it, it's going to pass. And all of a sudden, it subsides. And eventually it subsides completely. But if you didn't hold on during Yemei HaChoshech, by the time Yemei HaOr comes, you have nothing. You let go. A young rabbi in our community once saw me. I was coming out of the kollel. He wasn't a rabbi yet. He was working in business. He came off the bus from the city. And he's coming into the Beit Knesset. We happened to bump into each other. I was coming out of the kollel. He was walking to pray mincha. He said, Rabbi Eli, how do you sit in the kollel all day long? He told me this story many years later. I forgot it. He told me the story. He says, this conversation, it only lasted for 9 seconds, the whole exchange. He said, but it changed his life. He said, when I asked you, how do you sit in the kollel all day long and learn Torah? He says, you looked at me and you made like an odd face. Like, what kind of question is that? And you pointed to the kollel and you said, you see this building over here? This is a candy store. And you walked away. He says, and I was frozen. He's because I really believed that you believed that that was a candy store. You said it with such confidence, and you said it with such conviction, and you weren't trying to mekarev me and trying to sell me. You said it was a candy store, and you walked away. I said, this guy really thinks this is a candy store. And the truth of the matter is, I have to be honest. Most of the days when I go study in the kollel, it's a candy store. They're giving out jelly beans and marshmallows and root beer floats and all the delicious things. I have to be honest with you. I don't like you. That's the way I feel. But I wouldn't be honest if I were to tell you that some days when I go to the kollel, it's not a candy store. It's a burden, and it's difficult, and I'm not in the mood, and I don't want to open the book, and it's a battle and it's a struggle. You see, I'm being honest with you tonight. Some rabbanim will always get up and say, "No, it's always great and simhan, and you're gonna love it and it's beautiful." And then you say, "But it's not always like that." And I'm coming to tell you, you're right. Lucky that when I met that boy, that day was a candy store. But if he would have met me maybe a week later, and I would have told him, "Oh, this is a factory. Factory, I don't want to go. I work in a factory already. I don't need to go to another factory." But even if it's a factory, you have to work through it. You never let go of it. By the way, there's always a pasuk that always they quote, "Im b'chukotai telechu." You have to follow the laws. And what does Rashi say, "b'chukotai telechu"? "Shetiyu amelim b'Torah." You have to toil in the Torah. What does it mean, toil? When you're doing something that you love and something that's sweet, you don't have to toil to eat strawberry shortcake. You don't have to toil to play sports. You don't have to toil to watch a Broadway show. What do you mean toil? Toil sounds like it's difficult. Toil sounds like it's a work. You know what the explanation is? The pasuk is telling you, of course, when it's sweet, vaday. But even when the Torah is an amelut, even when it's hard for you, even when you have bills in your pocket that you didn't pay, and even when you have pressure at home, and even though when you have tzarot in the business, and now you say, "You know what, I'm not coming to learn tonight, I can't, I don't have a head." No. Shetiyu amelim b'Torah. Because if you let go at that point, when it passes, you're already going to be in a very low place. And now it's going to be very hard to make up that ground. Torah siva lanu Moshe, Morasha kehilat Yaakov. The pasuk tells us that our Torah is a Yerusha. You know what a Yerusha is? Yerusha is an inheritance. In another place, the Torah is called Matana. Yismach Moshe v'matanat chelko. You know what a Matana is? Matana is a gift. Make up your mind. Is Torah an inheritance or is Torah a gift? I'd like to say a chidush tonight. It's both. You see, a gift, I can only give a person a gift if he wants to accept it. I can't force a person to take a gift. I can offer a person a gift, and if he says, "I don't want it," I cannot force a gift against the person's will. A gift is something that you accept meratzon. However, Yerusha, whether you like it or not, if you're the inheritor, it's yours. A son cannot say, "I don't want to be Yoresh." Ben Yoresh, finish. It comes down to you, whether you like it or not. Sometimes the Torah is a matana. You want it, minatzon. You're excited to take it. You're enthused. But other times the Torah is a Yerusha. You have to take it against your will. You have no choice. Forgive me for being realistic. I'm sorry if I don't paint a picture of utopia that some people do. But it's not a realistic picture because life isn't utopia. Life is battles every single day. And not always when the alarm clock gets up, rings at 6 a.m., you jump up, and you're all excited. And some days, you wake up 2 hours before the alarm. And you're excited 2 hours before the alarm, already up. And you're reading Tehillim and Tikkun Atzot, and you go to Mikveh. There's days like that. And there's other days, the snooze, Hayadayim Yedei Esav, the snooze. That's Yemei HaChoshech. And everybody goes through it. And the Yetzer Hara during Yemei HaChoshech says, you see, you're an Ahbal, you're an Ashar, you're in good for nothing, look at you. Everybody's better than you, and he tries to lower you, to bring you down, and you have to catch yourself. You say, no, Rabbeinu Tam talked about this. If Rabbeinu Tam talked about Yemei HaChoshech, it's an old problem. We have to ride it, we have to go through it. It's not comfortable, it's not pleasurable, it'll pass. Sometimes you have to be amel b'Torah. Rabotai, I'd like to explain the Gemara now. When the Jewish people came to Har Sinai, they were on the highest level ever. The Gemara says they reached the level of Adam HaRishon Kodem Achet. They were on a high. They were able to hear Anochi Hashem Elokecha and Lo Yiyeh Lecha Elokim Achirim from God Himself. At that moment the Gemara says, Haska Zohamatan. The Zohama, the Tum'ah of the Nahash Kadmon, they were released from it. David HaMelech said on that generation, Ani Amarti Elohim Atem. Uvnei Elyon Kulechem. You know what type of spiritual euphoria the Jewish people were on? It was an ecstasy. At that moment, they were on the highest madrigot. And therefore, it was very easy for them to say, Na'aseh v'nishma. And when they saw what Tosfot says, the Esh HaGedolah, that Esh represented the Esh of motivation, the Esh of inspiration, the Esh of excitement and enthusiasm, the fire of Torah, they saw it. But you know what happened when they saw Esh Gedolah? They got scared. Because they knew that Esh Gedolah is temporary. And they said, we can accept the Torah when we feel like this. But what's going to happen when the ash subsides? What's going to happen when this feeling, when it dissipates? That's what they were worried. They said, yes, we could keep Torah under these conditions. When there's ash gedolah in front of us, that's a motivator. But is it realistic that always there's going to be Esh Gedolah in front of us? So they got scared. They were scared from Yemei HaChoshech. So God said, Vayitatzevu tachtit ahar. God took the mountain and put it over their heads and said, Rabotai, sometimes you have to follow the Torah against you. Sometimes you have to follow the Torah when it's kafa alehem har kigigit. Sometimes you have to follow the Torah because you're forced, you have no choice. Even when the ash is not there, Borei Olam is telling them, you're going to have to follow it under all conditions. And we feel the same way. Sometimes we follow the Torah in Esh HaGedolah, and other times we follow it, we feel Kafa Alehem Har Kigigit. It all depends what moment in life. I'm sure if we took a survey in this room, half the room would say, I'm going through Yemei HaOr, and half the room would say, they're going through Yemei HaChoshech. And at all times, it constantly changes. And at Har Sinai, we accepted to serve God under both conditions. Sometimes you have to serve God when you don't feel good, and you're hungry, and you're cold, and you have a stomach ache, and you don't have the front row seat, and you have to sit on the side, and you can't see good. And that's your Mahoshe. Kal Kadosh. Somebody asked me a question. And I'd like to answer the question. A boy in the Beit Knesset last week became Bar Mitzvah. He said, "Rabbi, I'm putting on tefillin now for the first time. What is written in the tefillin shel yad?" I said, "Four parashiyot." He says, "What's written in tefillin shel rosh?" I said, "The same four parashiyot." So he asked, "Why do you need both? Why do you need redundancy? Why do you need to do the same mitzvah twice? We never have a mitzvah that we do twice." I thought he told me there's something in the tefillin shel different than the tefillin shel rosh. Then it's hadush. But he tells me it's the exact same parashiyot, exactly. So what do you need two mitzvot for? It's a good question. Based on tonight's shiur, this is the answer I gave. And did you ever think for a second? The mitzvah of tefillin, which is the first mitzvah really that the bar mitzvah boy involves himself in. That's his entry into the mitzvot. If you think about it. Tefillin shel rosh, that's on his head. The head is the strongest organ in the body. The most important organ in a person is his rosh. Hakol olecha har rosh. The computer is in the rosh. The neshama is in the rosh. I understand tefillin on the rosh, but where's the other place that we put tefillin on? On the hand. But no, that's the wrong answer. On which hand? Yad keha, the weak hand. And I wonder, the mitzvah tefillin is placed on the strongest body part, the head, and the weakest body part. The weak hand, why would you want to do a mitzvah on the weak hand? If I want to serve Borei Olam, I should put it on the strong hand. And you know what the explanation is? Because sometimes you're going to serve God from the rosh. That's where the neshama is, where there's or, where there's life, where you're excited. That's the tefillin shel rosh. But other times the religion is going to be like yad keha. Yad keha means it's the weekend. And Borei Olam says, you must serve me in your weakest moments, and you must serve me in your strongest moments. Sometimes you're going to serve me like the tefillin shel yad keha, and sometimes you'll serve me like the tefillin shel rosh. And therefore you need to wear both, because both happen. But I'll say hadush. During the Yemei Ha'or, you go for the ride. You just try to grab as much as you can, learn as much as you can, pray with much kavanah, do as many mitzvot. You have to ride the wave. But during Yemei Ha'Choshech, you have to hold on. You have to hold on to the religion tight, because if you don't hold on tight, it's going to leave you. You have to clutch onto it like somebody drowning in the water and they throw him a piece of wood. He has to grab onto that wood for dear life so he doesn't drown. That's what, if you look at the Pesukim by Tefillin, what does it say by Tefillin shel yad? Ukshartam le'ot al yadecha. By Tefillin shel yad, you have to tie it. By Tefillin shel rosh, what does it say? Ve'ayuda totafot ben anecha. By Tefillin shel yad, you have to tie yourself. Because the religion on Yad Keha, it's slipping away from you, and therefore you have to bind yourself to it. You have to tie yourself. It needs a keshira. You need to hold on to it because it's going to be taken away from you. On the shrosh, v'ayu lachem, v'aya lachem. It's there, you don't have to worry. And that's my message to Kahal Kadosh. Ladies, I know you don't wear tefillin. Today it became fashionable for some ladies to wear tefillin. But I know, Baruch Hashem, you're a very traditional congregation. besides a few cheerleaders in some of the schools that are putting on tefillin, Baruch Hashem, I know you ladies don't wear the tefillin. And I'm not recommending it. But you know what the tefillin are. The message of the tefillin still applies to you. When you put the tefillin on your children, but every day we want to put on the tefillin. Some days we can't wait. Some days we have to pray. It's a kibah, it's a burden, it's a drudgery. That's Yad Keha. Don't give up during Yad Keha. On the contrary, you have to grab on to the life. You have to ride the wave, because if you let go, Chas V'Shalom, you'll find yourself underwater. And then when the water's calm, too late, you're underwater already. Now go try to surface back to the top. They were scared that the Esh Yedolah might dissipate. And God said it's going to dissipate. And therefore you must serve me like Kafa'ad Emar Kegigit. I think it's a very important lesson. Our religion must be consistent. This week we read Ma'asit HaShekel, Parashat Shekalim. You know what the lesson of Ma'asit HaShekel is? The Pasuk says, Kitisa et Rosh B'nei Yisrael. The word Kitisa can mean when you count. But you know what the word Kitisa can also mean? To get rid of. Yisa Paro et Roshecha. Sometimes it can mean to cut off. The Pasuk is saying, sometimes in Judaism, Kitisa et Rosh b'nei Yisrael. The Rosh is not going to be there. And at that point over there, you're going to feel like Mahasit. You're going to feel you're missing something. You're going to feel only like a half. You're not going to feel complete. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't worry. Just serve God, serve me. And what does God tell Moshe Rabbeinu? Zeyitenu. And what does Hashem say, Zeyitenu? God showed Moshe Rabbeinu a Ma'asit HaShekel. And what was the Ma'asit HaShekel made out of? Matbeach Shel Esh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't worry. You're missing even Matbeach Shel Esh. That's the other half. Doesn't matter, you still have to serve me. Ma'asit HaShekel is okay also. I have the other half. The Matbeach Shel Esh. I'll give it to you. It'll come. But you have to serve God even when it's only Ma'asit. Even when there's no Rosh, keep the Sa'it Rosh. Even when you don't feel your service is complete. But Allah says, don't worry, I have the other half. I'm holding the other half. The Matbeach Shel Esh. The Esh HaKedolah, you'll get it. But don't wait for it. It is my prayer that all of us should accept upon ourselves a consistent religion. That means it should be bitmidut. They asked one rabbi, what's the most important pasuk in the Torah? And he said, that talks about the Korban Tamid. Korban Tamid was done twice a day, 365 days of the year. That's the most important pasuk in the Torah. Consistency. Not like we say in Arabic, Yom Ashal, Yom Basal. One day, you're in a good mood, and the next day you don't show up. 2 weeks you're there, 3 weeks you're off. 2 steps forward, 3 steps back. Doesn't work that way. Our service must be, even when it's difficult. And take it from me. And take it from anyone that you're going to ask over here on this stage. You think all the Rabbanim always have Yemei Ha'or? Take a Musar. That everybody has problems and everybody has issues and everybody has challenges and everybody has difficulties. And when you're going through them, that's when you have to have Ukshartam. When God delivers the Yad Keha, the weaker hand, then you have to hold on tight. But guaranteed, always after Tefillin Shel Yad comes Tefillin Shel Rosh. And always after Vayi Erev comes Vayi Boker. Thursday we're going to announce Rosh Chodesh Adar. Mishenichnas Adar marvim b'simcha. And when there's simcha, the pasuk says, Ayhudim hayta ora. Ora is the light. And when there's light, there's simcha, there's sason bikar. We're coming to these great days of ora v'simcha v'sason bikar. And it is my blessing that should be fulfilled on us, the pasuk. Ulchol b'nei Yisrael haya or. Amen. Amen.